Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
I said mind the table, didn't I? I said mind the table.
I'm a feminist, but... Hello, Leicester Square Theatre on International Women's Day week! Yeah! Month, season. And I am a feminist, but the other day, my friend and I were looking at some Botticelli's, and I said, can you imagine how hot I would have been then? Because they all kind of have, like the women in the paintings, all have sort of smallish breasts and large thighs and bums. Like, I would have been like the Kate Moss, the Beyonce of that time. Like, I would have been. And she looked at me and went, yeah, with fewer rights, though. And I went, oh, yeah. So... Just a week. I want a week there. I don't want to live there, but if someone could teleport... A weekend. I'd do a weekend. I would do an afternoon with Botticelli. He could paint me once, take me twice, zap me back.
I'm a feminist, but... Number one, I thought you were talking about Botticelli, a cheese. Okay. Let's get it. I'm a feminist, but there is a very misogynistic phrase in Australia that men use to women who look stressed to dehumanise them. And the phrase is, you need a root. And it means you need sex. I know, disgusting. Like, oh, she probably needs a root. Absolutely revolting, right? I'm a feminist, but sometimes I do just need a root. Sometimes I just need a root.
Sometimes I am on my period.
I'm a feminist, but... So I knew that my neighbours were away and I listened to the whole of the R. Kelly back catalogue. And it was so good! I fucking loved it!
I'm going to go out on a large limb here and say it's not okay, no matter who's left the street. I mean... No matter who's in, no matter who's out, you know. I do have a soft spot. You know what my song is, Michelle, for my husband and my song?
No.
It's the remix to Ignition.
I'm saying, if you, like, listen, that is a big black wedding song as well, actually, Deborah.
Hot,
like, that's a banger.
Hot and
that's
fresh
a banger.
From the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mama rolling that body.
Don't do that, please. It's hurting me. No, thank you.
I had it at my wedding, but we didn't know. We didn't know. I mean...
Wait, you didn't know what? Where did you get married?
Hold on, have you heard about R. Kelly?
No, I know, but that's what I... When you say you didn't know, I'm like, when did you get married?
2008.
Oh, yeah, fine.
Okay.
We knew, but we didn't know.
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
We knew, but we were like, these are fucking
bangers.
Well, I feel
that about Louis C.K. We didn't know.
But we knew.
We knew something. There was rumours on the internet. We looked away from them. So we're ashamed. This is why it's called the Feminist Confessional.
I'm a feminist, but... backstage, we were just talking about the various zoos and aquariums and attractions of Sydney, and Felicity Ward said, "Oh, you should go to the bird show." Sorry about the accent.
And apologise, actually.
I should apologise. Listen, you just need a route.
It's going to be that kind of night,
is it? It's that kind of night. And she said, "You should go to the bird show." And Deb said, "I've never been to a bird show." And I said... It's called The Guilty Feminist.
Enjoy your special day, women.
I'm a feminist, but... Recently, I went to a cafe and was buying myself a cup of coffee and some cake, and some guy in the queue turns to me and goes, "You women and your cake." Yep. So I turned around to him, stood my ground, and went, "Yeah."
Fucking
told him.
What comebacks did you think of on the way home, though?
Oh, it was less one-liners and more like writing essays on a number
posts.
Of levels of why that was the wrong thing to say.
The esprit de blog post.
Yes,
or the blog post d'escalier. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Really, that's a better joke than you're giving it credit for. It's like, you know, esprit d'escalier, the wit of the staircase? Okay, no, all right. It means that the French say it means the funny thing you think of on the staircase on the way out the door, yeah? Okay, now you know that. Let me try again. Oh, so set me up again.
Oh,
What did you think of? What witty things did you think of?
I was just writing an essay on all of the things that was wrong with that phrase.
Ah, the esprit de blog post. I'm so sorry, I fucked it up. There's nothing that could be done.
My turn?
Mm.
Okay. I'm a feminist, but... Honestly, I think it would just be funnier if Grace just stacked it on the table. So sorry.
No women were injured in the making of this International Women's Day show. Well, one woman was, but none were killed yet.
No.
No, we don't know what the body count will be like at the end. So, I'm a feminist, but...
Well, I changed it to that because I thought it'd be fun.
Oh, apparently Felicity thought that was a practice go, and now you've got to do another one. Now it's awkward.
No, I just wanted to make sure you had the space because it's
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's really nice.
What a sister. That's awesome. Okay, so your sister Felicity has pointed out you might want more space and time.
You don't have to.
Okay, no, fine. Fuck it. I'm a feminist. But I think it's bullshit I had to lift this up because all women are fucking 5'2" and under.
Are we ready to start the show? Then welcome to the Guilty Feminist International Women's Day special at the Leicester Square Theatre. Please give it up for Michelle De Swartz, Helen Bauer, Grace Petrie, Felicity Ward and Ellie Dixon. All incredible women, you will be hearing more from the evening. So it's the International Women's Day special. We are sold out, but there are 3 seats there in the front row and 2 seats there in the front row. And my theory is, because this always happens, my theory is men's rights activists buy them to deplete my front row. Like, what is happening when people buy these tickets? I think they just end up on the wrong side of London and they forget the day and then they go, "Oh, I thought it was 7:30. I bet you anything, loads of people are going to turn up at 7:30. It's a 6:30 show because there's a show after us and we wanted lots of elastic. If you've been to a Guilty Feminist show before, you know that it never fucking ends. So if you were hoping, you were thinking, "Oh, a 6:30 show, we'll be able to catch a movie and go to Chinatown," you won't. You won't. I hope you've eaten. If not, they sell Maltesers at the bar. Is everyone having a good International Women's Day week season so far?
I'm delighted it's turned into a week, but I always do think, I don't know how men cope with having all the other days, because it's very tiring. This cannot go out on the podcast, just to be clear, but I forgot my glasses. That's not the bit that can't go on the podcast. That's very tame, isn't it? So that's really something like Michael McIntyre would do. I actually have got, don't mean to brag, but I'm forced to, I have got better than 20/20 vision. Yeah, a lot of people don't know there's better than 20/20. Who knew there was better than 20/20? Give us a cheer. Who thought 20/20 was top marks? That's what I thought, but my optician told me that 20/20 vision is like a 2-1 university degree. It's good, and it's what most people have who have good vision, but you can have first-class vision like me, which is good because I do not have a first-class degree, which I now blame retrospectively on ADHD. But my reading vision, so I can see, you know, you could stand all the way over there and I could see you perfectly, but if you had something on your T-shirt, wouldn't have a fucking clue. Because it's reading vision is, you know, it's too much time on the screens or whatever. And I got in a cab tonight because I had all this stuff with me, you know, for the show, and, you know, I had this sparkly sequined bolero. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is from State of Disarray. They are a really ethical feminist company. Oh, there's a big group of State of Disarray fans back there. Give us a cheer if you love State of Disarray. You go on the website and you can see all the people who make it, and it's all really fabulously done, very feminist, and sort of affordable, but reassuringly not £6, if you see what I mean. Because no matter what people say, if they're selling boleros with sequins on them for £6, no. So anyway, I had all this stuff. So I jumped in a taxi and realised when I was halfway here, I was, oh no, I forgot my reading glasses and I really, really do need them. I don't know, I didn't plan on telling you this. I'm so sorry, I shouldn't be telling you this. So I rang Tom, who's my husband and also produces this show, and went, oh, Tom, I'm sorry, can you make the things on the clipboard bigger? Can you pre-print them out? Because I haven't got my glasses and I'm really worried about it and I want the show to go really well and there's lots of people on the bill and I've got to remember a lot of things. And I just really, I'm thinking about, should I go back for them? But then I'm thinking, no, because I want to be there on time, blah, 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 blah. And is there any way you can help me? And a voice at the other end of the phone said, well, you really can't see because you've called the wrong Tom. And I looked at the phone at a distance and realised the Tom I'd called, I thought was in prison. Not a good guy. He claims he didn't do it. But guys, it's not looking good. And I just bit my tongue from saying, oh, I thought you were in jail. And just went, oh, sorry, wrong Tom. Yeah, I really can't see anything. Can't see anything at all. Can't see anything at all. Can't see anything. And what I didn't say was, you know, I didn't know you had ADHD. I've got ADHD too, but it hasn't made me do what you've done. Because that was his defence. I really wish I could... Some people know who it is now, don't they? Just give us a cheer if you know who it is. Not a cheer, to be fair. give us a disapproving if you know who it is. Yeah, just a couple of people. Yeah, that's who I called. But why? Because Tom Allen is higher in the phone than Tom Prison. I don't understand how it happened. I started looking at all the Toms I could have called. DJs, hairstylists, a guy who fixed my sink. So many Toms in my phone. Of comedians, Tom Tuck, Tom Bell, Tom Basden. I don't have his number, but I could have had it. Can you imagine? I even had an email address in there for Tom Hiddleston, it turns out. I didn't know I had his email. That's right. Okay, so that can't go in the podcast, obviously. But I just wanted to tell you. I mean, maybe I've said it in a way that it can. Can it, Tom? I mean, I suppose he could sue me from prison. They used to own comedy, those guys. Not any fucking more. The theme for this year's International Women's Day is equity. Did you see that? Equity. Yeah, it's... You're murmuring? Yeah. So I looked it up, you know, that way of like, oh, the dictionary defines equity, because I thought, I sort of obviously know what it means, but I was just like looking it up. The two top definitions for equity that come up, if you Google it, is one, the quality of being fair and impartial. For example, use in a sentence, equity of treatment. Definition two, the value of the shares issued by a company. Use it in a sentence. He owns 82% of the group's equity. And that's why we need the first definition. He owns 82%. Can you just confirm that's the genuine definition on Google? He owns... Oh, hold on. It might be 62%. I haven't got my glasses. It's the point still stands. He owns over... He... There's no they there. There's no she there. He. It should be a they. It should be they own. Surely, when one person... who's obviously a cis white man. It doesn't say that, but we know that it is. We know that that's a cis white man. At best, he's gay. We know that. We know that. He's probably not, but he might be. But he's definitely... He's not... I'll tell you that for nothing. He's not trans. Unless he's Stephen Bartlett, he's white. I kind of love Stephen Bartlett. Yeah, do you as well? But you said that in a way of, like, you fancy Stephen Bartlett. I sort of meant because I like his interviewing style and stuff. But you mean, yeah. So does anybody here have any International Women's Day plots and plans? Anyone want to tell us about anything they're doing? No. Okay. All right. Yes? Yeah, yeah. Coming here. It's a low bar, isn't it? Coming here to watch women confess their worst hypocrisies. Thank you very much. No. Thank you very much for coming here. And not just you. I should thank everyone for that. Thank you for coming here! So I normally ask, at the moment, this year I've been asking, has anybody got an act of feminism that they've done they'd like to share with us? And I request that the first one is a, how can I put this, an act of feminism that will intimidate nobody. If someone could encourage other people by telling us something that's sort of, you know, you could sort of just about justify it as feminism. So one week someone put a hand up and she said, I just walked out of the house tonight and left my husband with the kids and didn't tell him anything about what needed to be done deliberately before coming here. So I think that's a great accessible act of feminism. We all enjoy it, we all understand it, but let's be honest, it's not in any way probably going to change a generation. It will have changed that man's night. She actually said, I turned the phone off. He doesn't know whether they have swimming, what the homework is, where their pyjamas are. He doesn't know anything. She was so happy. And there were other women in the audience going, yay! So has anyone got anything unintimidating that they have done? Yes? What's your name?
BT.
BT. And what have you done, BT?
My boss comes in quite a lot and says, hello, ladies. And I say, don't call me a lady. And he says, what should I call you? I say, feminist hero.
Yay! Beachy! We love that. Oh, that's good. That's a good response. We should put that in Guilty Feminist canon, that if you say, don't call me love, well, what should I call you? A feminist hero. I absolutely love that. Okay, that's now in canon. And maybe we should get some feminist hero, Guilty Feminist t-shirts. I love that. And on the back, it should just say, trademark Beachy. Anyone else got anything? Yes? Yes? Oh, hold on. Yes. Okay, say it again. You're challenging the... The 27 Sexual Freedom Awards. Because the icon, the trophy, which they designed 27 years ago, is a golden flying penis. With wings. Why? Was it that originally because of gay pride? Why was it that?
Because patriarchy.
Gender freedom, though.
So this is about sexual freedom awards, like they're honouring and supporting diverse sexual...
what's the word? Oh, like they're honouring somebody queer.
So no, it's about sex worker of the year, striptease artist of the year, sexologist of the year,
Sex Worker of the Year.
Pioneer of the Year. So it's inclusive, but their award is a penis.
Okay, all right. And not everyone who's up for this award has a penis. And you're nominated and you don't have a penis. And so you don't want to... Can we ask why you're nominated? Because that sounds feminist. You're nominated as Sexologist of the Year. Yeah, I think there should at least be an option. So it could be Sex Worker of the Year, Sexologist of the Year. It could be somebody who's involved in Adult Entertainment of the Year. But it shouldn't be a one penis fits all. Because we all know they don't. Great. And so can we vote for you or is it... we can vote for you. What's your name? Do you want to say?
Beaver Meadow.
Beaver Meadow. Yeah. I can see why you don't want the penis one. Yeah. So you're Sexologist of the Year, potentially, and you're called Beaver Meadow. it's a great name. You can't argue with that. Listen, I don't think we're going to be able to top that. So I'm going to bring on our first comedian. Are you ready? Yeah! Our first comedian this evening. You can hear her on the podcast Trusty Hogs with Catherine Bohart and Daddy Look at Me with Rosie Jones. She started her stand-up career in Berlin, but she's right here with us in London tonight, conveniently. Please put your hands together and give a huge, guilty feminist warm welcome to the incredible Helen Bauer.
Nicest audience ever. I just come out and it's rows of babes just like, fucking yes, queen, you can do it. But I say that, everyone seems happy apart from this man just looking at me like, no. This is our first comedian? She is way too fuckable to be funny. Correct. I knew it. You know when you could just see in a guy's eyes, like, why would she have a personality with a rack like that? And look, it's fair. I'm just a crazy lucky babe with an amazing rack and glowing personality. Know what I mean? Fucking yes! Okay, you know what? I'll say it. That was arguably too confident of a start from me. Had a lot of caffeine today. Look. Honestly, I'm just going through a very confident phase of life. Thank you. And I love how much we love it for me. Like, just to be clear, I've always been confident. It's just doubled recently. Basically, I'm in my 30s now and I'm thriving. It's just, like, give me a cheer if you're 30 or over, just so I know. Because it's so good, isn't it? No, not 30 yet? No, how old are you? 25, okay. No. No. Fuck yourself. No. I'm sure you're a great girl. Honestly, I don't usually think age is that big a deal, but quite frankly, that's pissed me off, and I don't know why. But 25, continue to thrive. It's just... To be clear, I like being in my 30s. It's turning 30 that's weird. You will find this out. Like, when I was turning 30, all of my friends just gathered around me. Like, oh my fucking gods. Helen. Babe. It's happening. You're turning 30. You're gonna love it, you will love it. Because you are finally gonna stop caring what people think about you. And that was supposed to be like a comfort for me. But just so we're all clear, I already cared. So little. If I lose my tiny grasp of shame I have left, I will be wanking outside of M&M World within an hour. I love how much you love this for me.
Like, I gotta go, look at me, man! I will be respected by everyone here. Just to be honest, I've turned 30. I'm the most single I've ever been in my life, and all of my free time I'm spending watching videos of weddings on YouTube. Which sounds so tragic. I know, it's just... Like, I'm watching them in a very specific category. I'm watching them on YouTube fails. Any fans? So good, right? Just people having the worst days of their lives. And then put online for scum like us to enjoy. Yes, please. It's incredible. Mainly because I watched the wedding playlist. And, like, look, I've never been on this podcast before. And I want you all to like me a lot. I do. I just really need us all to agree as a room, that there is nothing better in the entire world than a bride's day being completely ruined. And the light falling out of her eyes. That's it! Okay, I found this video. I'll tweet it out mainly for you two because I feel like you're into this. It's a bride on her big day. I'm assuming her name's like Lauren or something. She's basic as fuck. And she's like, you're not called Lauren, are you? You look so tense. Oh my God, thank God. What's your name?
Amy.
Amy, okay, well, same thing, yeah. Can we just appreciate that you were like, Lauren, Lord, no, Amy. Ah! By the way, okay, that sounded so bitchy from me. Just to be clear, I'm also basic. Look at my hoops. It's just, personally, I do identify as basic plus because I'm self-aware with it. Does that make sense? Like, I've got scented candles. Of course I do. I'm not a freak. It's just, I don't switch them out seasonally because I believe in me. I'm a bit of fun. Amy. I knew this bride was basic for one main reason, because she was walking down the aisle to Beauty and the Beast, which is right, like, like, we get it, right? You're the beauty, they're the beast. Ah! Work on yourself. As women in this country, we still don't have equal pay. And quite frankly, sometimes it feels like some women aren't trying hard enough. It is embarrassing at this point walking down the aisle to tale as old as time. But what was so good in this video, as she was going down the aisle, her dad stepped on her train and out flopped a tit. And what was so amazing is you could see in her eyes it wasn't the good one. We know when the good one flops out. Like, obviously, we pretend to be embarrassed. It's like, oh, no. Oh, God, not that one. Embarrassing, but secretly, it's like, hell yeah, they're both the same. Like, which is your favourite tit, Amy? Yes! Is that because when you lick your nipple and blow on it, it wrinkles up slower? Yeah, no, me neither. Like, I don't... Just to be clear, I respect you having a favourite tit. I think everyone should have one. I know which one my one is because I get drunk and I take it out. For attention. Just to be clear, like, I feel like I've made it sound like I'm just wandering around masturbating with my tit hanging out. Like, I don't have a problem. I only get my tit out when I'm, like, crazy drunk. So it's actually super classy. It's just... Okay, it's happening a lot at the moment. Because I'm in a bit of a drinky phase. But I'm only drinking so much because it's one of the few things I'm genuinely good at. You know when you're good at something, you want to show it off? And I know I'm good at it because I can currently drink 3 bottles of rosé wine in one sitting. Thank you. Thank you. I feel like most of us are impressed by it, apart from this guy still not clapping. Like, 3 bottles of wine, she can't do it. She's too thin. Correct. Yeah, I'm a lucky woman. I've got a fast metabolism and sometimes I forget to eat. Am I right, Amy? Salad. No! See? Now I've
done that thing where I say I'm thin and I feel the need to point out to everyone at the back looking at me like, does she know? Should we tell her? Like, just to be clear, obviously I do know I'm fat. Of course I know that. Like, I've got a mum. She has told me several times. Let me tell you this before I go, because, like, I do not mind being fat. It doesn't bother me at all, which I think is amazing, given I was raised in Britain during the noughties. That was fucking impossible. Like, you've got no idea, 25-year-old, what it was like. If I say noughties, does it ring any bells? No. I can sum it up for you if you want. Okay. There was a time in Britain where every woman believed, and I say believed with no sense of irony, that if we ate 2 bowls of Special K twice a day for 2 weeks, we'd lose a gene size. No wonder we don't have equal pay. We don't deserve it. We're stupid. We'll fall for anything. It was a magical time. You guys have been so, so lovely. Thank you for having me.
Helen Bauer, everybody. BT, before I bring on the next act, do you have any more wisdom for us? Is there any BT wisdom in your just like feminist wisdom that you could pass on to these feminists in the room? Have you got?
Don't let the fuckers grind you down.
Don't let the fuckers grind you down. Great, thank you, BT. It's sort of that's a London version of Margaret Atwood, isn't it? That's someone shouting Deborah, Deborah, Deborah.
It is. I'm so sorry. So you know these seats are empty.
Yeah.
So my friend, they wouldn't bring her to the front because she got a little late because her kid, you know.
Oh, okay. Because of childcare issues that often fall to women and emotional labour that is gendered, a woman is stuck up the back who deserves to be at the front.
Yes.
Please welcome to the front of the auditorium women who deserve more.
Beatrice, can you ask Beatrice to come to the front?
Yep, sorry, does she not know that was for her?
No.
Beatrice! I'm coughing because I think I've swallowed some dust, not because I sound like a Victorian poet who's about to die in Italy. All right, so Beatrice? Yay, Beatrice! Oh, isn't this a wonderful sisterly reunion on International Women's Day? Thank you. Beatrice, are you feeling better now? You're here, you're present, you're ready for the next act? Excellent. Is your child okay?
Do you have one? My husband.
He's with your husband.
Yes.
Wow, that's what stands for feminism in action, because we don't have a lot else. Okay.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next act is an incredible actor and comedian. You may have seen her on HBO's The Baby. Or, if you haven't already, you must catch her very recent set on Live at the Apollo. Please put your hands together and make incredible woo-hooing guilty feminist noises for Michelle Dusworth!
Hello. Are you look all right? You know what? I've got to stop mentioning the credit of the baby because no one's fucking watched it. And every time someone's like, what are your credits? Like, I'll say it. And then I hear a whole room of people go, It's brutal, man. Okay, what I want to talk about is, like, do you ever get a window into someone else's life where you're like, fucking hell. So I've got a friend who's really, really posh. And I don't mean, like, aspiring middle classes. All right, I mean proper posh. Like, the family don't have fully formed chins, right? And I've been friends with her for over 20 years, right? Now, we used to be friends in London and, you know, she's moved back to her natural habitat because she's got two kids now. So she moved back to the countryside. And she was like, Michelle, why don't you come and visit me on the family's estate? And I was like, cool. As someone who's also grown up on an estate. This sounds like it's going to be all right. Now, our friend group in London is super diverse. Of course, because it's London, right? Like, if you live in London and you don't have a black or brown friend... You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, innit? You know what I mean? Like, I went out with a guy once who was from Hackney, because I'm basic like that, right? And he wasn't from Hackney, but he lived in Hackney. And he was, you know, like your classic Hackney guy, graphic designer, rides a fixed bike, goes rock climbing on the weekends, loves the festival. Say it ain't so! So unique! And then I met his friend group and I was like, nah, man. How can you not have one black or brown friend? And you've lived in Hackney all these years. How can I be the most spice in this situation? We're gonna have to part ways. I should have known actually because they'd been to Burning Man and I think that is always a sign that someone's a bit off. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been on the dating app game for a while. If you don't know what Burning Man is, it's a festival that happens in the desert in America, right? And it's like some Mad Max shit. And the things about this festival is you don't need money, right? But you need money to get there. You literally fly by a helicopter and then you're like, we don't use money here. We just exchange stuff, which would never work for me because I'm a terrible planner. So on day three, I'd be giving out recipes for egg sandwiches, right? But on dating apps, if you see, like, they do this test in America, right? Where, like, they've whittled it down that if you drink Dr. Pepper and you eat Snickers bars, you probably vote Republican, right? And what I've found on the dating apps, that if you see a picture of a guy who's been to Burning Man, he's probably a dickhead, right? You're welcome. I've done the research for you. So anyway, I'm used to her having quite a diverse friend group. So I go to her place and I get out of the car, I go onto the lawn. Now, she's cool. Her sister's cool. But her mum and dad, you know what I'm saying? Like, the dad will always corner me and be like, Michelle, I really want to have a chat with you about the political climate. And I'm like, I'm going to go and have a little row around the moat. Hold that thought, mate. You know what I mean? Because it's a bit problematic, but I'm willing to overlook it because the house is so nice. So anyway, I'm like, cool. I get out of the car and I was like, wow, there's just like a sea of these posh white women with pashminas. I know, pashminas, like they were like superhero capes of privilege, just cha. And they all seem like nice enough women, barefoot, you know, messy top knots, close talkers. You know those posh girls that are like, hi, I'm Tamsin, what's your name? You're like, ah! All right. And we all hang out. It was lovely, actually. We all got proper smashed. We all had a great time. You know, like, smashed on that good wine as well. You know what I'm talking about? You know when you've, like, you're a bottle and a half in and you think, I fucking feel all right, you know? I'm actually good.
I think I'm my best self right now.
And it's like, yeah, maybe it's because it's not Echo Falls, Michelle. That's why, right? So, we're all having a great time. We're all absolutely battered. It's about midnight. And then one of them turns around and says, let's play Gymkhana. Oh. Oh, you know what it is. So let me tell you, right? Gymkhana. I was like, oh, Gymkhana, what is this? Now, we all go out, they all run out onto the lawn to go and play Gymkhana. What I haven't told you is that half of this group have set up bell tents on the ground because white people love sleeping outside, right? Fucking banter. So we've got all of these bell tents outside. The ladies run out, and what Gymkhana is, was these grown women pretending they were ponies. I'm talking nay, nay, obstacle course, round the bell tent. And like, I don't know, like, look man, I'm 42 years old. Sometimes you see stuff and I was like, I'm just gonna lie down and enjoy this. And then I thought, have I found a new kink? You know what I mean? Like, at 42, I'm like, I'm kinked out, okay? Everything has got more and more niche as each year has gone on. And now I'm in a place where I'm like, listen, you pull my finger, if you can blow on my ass, yeah? Oh, hey, you over there in the corner, if you could pop balloons every couple of minutes. So to find a new kink at this point in my life, I was like, ooh, how am I gonna recreate this? Anyway, I'm loving it. One of them pipes up and is like, I'm Buttercups. My friend turns around and is like, I'm Ginger Snaps. I was like, is it? Anyway. Then Tamsin comes over to me and she's like, Michelle? And I was like, yes. She was like, what's going to be your pony name? And I was like, yeah, nah, like... At best, I'll be the jockey, but there is not enough cocaine in Great Britain to have me galloping round a bell tent. Anyway, fun times, right? We go to bed, we wake up in the morning, I'm feeling a little bit smug, to be honest, because you know when you've witnessed someone doing some embarrassing shit, but you haven't been a part of it, you can't help but just, you know what I mean? Just, I sort of walked into the kitchen like, well, well, well. Morning, ladies. But what I didn't, like, take into account is that that kind of level of posh, they don't feel shame, they don't give a shit. They're just like, that morning. Like, wait, what? And then I made the mistake of trying to turn off an aga. Do you guys know what an aga is? I'd never heard of an aga before. If you don't know what an aga is, it is the bidet of kitchen appliances, right? It is basically an oven that never turns off, yeah, for rich people that don't give a fuck about their carbon footprint. Because they might want to make bread in the next 5 years. And so I ended up being humiliated because I was like, you're right, babes, how do I turn off the oven? She was like, it's an aga. I was like, wicked, brand name, love it. How do I turn it off? And they were all just like, oh, fuck's sake, man. Then it all kind of came around because my friend turned around to me and she was like, Michelle, did you play Gymkhana last night? And I was like, I'm happy you asked. No. I didn't. And she was like, are you... Now, this is the thing. When you're a comic, people always say to you, they're like, are you going to put that in your set, ain't ya? And it's always at the most driest moments where they're like, ah, that's probably going to go in your set. And I'm always like, no, it's not. Don't fucking rate yourself. Do you think this dry moment is going in my set? Nah, mate. But this was one of those rare moments when my friend turned around and she went, Michelle, are you going to put this in? I was like, yeah, babes. Gymkhana is fucking going in. You guys have been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Michelle has won! Isn't she amazing? If you have not seen her live at the Apollo set, as soon as... as you get home, Yen, watch it. And you will get home, by the way. I should say, that was sort of a joke about it going on long. It does. But tonight there's a show after, so we really can't. So I'm going to bring on our final act of this half. Then you're going to get an interval. In the second half, you're going to see Felicity Ward. Yeah. You're going to hear and see in conversation the incredible Ellie Dixon. Yeah. And then you're going to be released into Chinatown to do your worst. To paint the town beige or maroon, if you're feeling fancy. So in the second half, I am going to come back to you because I've decided BT's wisdom is such a wonderful thing, and I think there must be more wisdom in this audience. So if anyone else in the second half can think in the interval, if you can think of some wisdom like BT's wisdom, and we'll call this section BT's wisdom, but you don't have to be BT to play. All right, I'm so excited to bring on the final act of this half. She is a guilty feminist favourite. It would not, she's toured all over the world with us. It would not be an International Women's Day without her. Put your hands together and make incredible woo-hooing noises for the one, the only, the elegant Leicester legend. It's the incredible Grace Petrie!
Good evening, everybody. It's the elegant Grace Petrie. Oh, yes, please, I'll take that. Goodness me, this is the first time for everything. Are you having a wonderful evening? Yeah, I thought you would be. What a fantastic night. What a great bill. I'm having a fucking great time. Give me a shout if you're in love. I'm in love. Oh, fucking hell, that was contentious, wasn't it? Blimey. Sorry, guys, wow. Yeah, I've been in a lot of relationships, not to brag. I've been in a lot of failed relationships, and now I'm in a relationship with somebody that I think for the first time in my life I do sort of feel like it's one that's really good for me. And thank you very much. And I was thinking about how because I'm 35, so when I grew up and I was watching a lot of like Dawson's Creek. And things like that. I was sort of fed this message by society that when you meet someone and it's the love of your life, it should be sort of really kind of destabilizing, and it should, you know, make your heart race, and it should make you feel. And now I'm sort of 35, and I'm like, look back at all my previous relationships where I had that, and I think, oh, that was my body giving me red flags. That was my nervous system telling me I wasn't safe, right? So now I'm in love with somebody who makes me feel the opposite of that. And so I wrote a song about her, and it goes this. It's called Thank You. I am just adorable as well as elegant. And it's called You Don't Make Me Feel Sick. You don't make me feel sick. You settle my stomach. You're more like a miso soup than a tea cake made by tonic. A sugar rush that leaves me feeling headachy and sad. You're the most fulfilling thing I've had. You lot. You don't fill my chest with butterfly wings beating. You don't make me depressed, or keep me up, or stop me eating. You don't give me arrhythmia or symptoms of ill health. You're the best care that I've taken of myself. I heard that love was fireworks and electric sparks. But you're not a sudden painful feeling or a loud noise in the dark. Exploding smoke into my eyes to compromise my sight. You're a log burner on a winter night. and I get my thrills from nectar points and roasting joints, and both our names on bills. And seeing my phone number on your passport's inside cover, in the box marked in case of emergency. If lost, honey, please return to me. Safe and sound, and you better make it quick, because you don't make me feel sick. Thank you very much. Oh, so the Glastonbury headliners were announced yesterday. Are you sure? About that woo? I don't know. No, listen, I love a bit of Arctic Monkeys and, you know, the others. It's sort of kicked off an interesting discussion about why there are no female headliners of Glastonbury this year. And I sort of was talking about it on Twitter, and a man... I was talking about my sort of, you know, 15-year career in music and the problems that I see, the structural problems with sexism in the music industry. And this man was like, and so what? Do you think you could headline Glastonbury? So, funnily enough, I got an email today and I am headlining Glastonbury. No, I'm not headlining Glastonbury. But I wrote a song about Glastonbury and about how... You know, one day I do indeed have aspirations for the fucking pyramid stage, man. Why shouldn't I? Manifest! I was at Glastonbury. I wrote this song quite a few years ago now. I was at Glastonbury in 2014, and I got a phone call telling me that my sister had gone into labour with my niece. So I jumped in the car and I drove home, and I wrote this song. My niece is called Ivy, and this song is also called Ivy. And it goes like this. It was Glastonbury 2014, and me and my best friend, we'd had an awesome festival. Then we got a call on Sunday about 10:30, and it was back to the camp, and it was pack up the tent, and it was saying goodbye to Billy Bragg as we went, and telling our friends that we had somewhere to be, someone so much more important than all those VIPs. It was your mum on the phone that rerouted us. We got a hug goodbye from Phil Jupiter's, and then we drove all night from Glastonbury to meet you home when you were ready to arrive, Ivy. And I drove until the sun came up to beat you home all the way up the M5, Ivy. And being early for someone was a first for me, but I thought my heart would burst if you got there before me. And all the way home, all I thought was how I can't wait to tell you this story, Ivy. Thanks for waiting for me. And I can't wait to know the person you'll become. I can't wait to hear what music that you like. I can't wait to know the future as you'll make it. And I wonder if I'll still be behind a mic. 'Cause Ivy, maybe one day when you're my age, well, maybe I'll be singing from that pyramid stage that once I drove all night from Glastonbury to meet you home when you were ready to arrive, Ivy. I drove until the sun came up to beat you home all the way up the M5, Ivy. And being early for someone was a first for me, but I thought my heart would burst if you got there before me. And all the way home, all I thought was how I can't wait to tell you this story. Ivy. Thanks for waiting for me. Thanks for waiting for me to arrive. And let me just say thanks for not bringing Labour on until Sunday night and halfway through Kasabian, because who the fuck cares about Kasabian? And thanks for not coming during Dolly Parton. Oh, believe me, when I say I would have driven right up the M5 to be there when you start living, but I must admit that I would be sad departing, because how many times in life do you get to see Dolly Parton live? Not that many. But I drove all night from Glastonbury to meet you home. When you were ready to arrive, Ivy. And I drove until the sun came up to beat you home. All the way up the M5, Ivy. And being early for someone was a first for me. But I thought my heart would burst if you got there before me, and all the way home all I thought was how I can't wait to tell you this story, Ivy. No, I can't wait to tell you this story, Ivy. Yeah, and one day I'll tell you this story, Ivy. Thanks for waiting for me. Thank you very much, gay feminists. We're going to go to a short break and we will see you in the second half.
So that was the first half. Join us for part two, which should be in your feed right now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.